Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Hi, welcome. My name is Brenda Lanoff with the Mindful Healing Show. And this show I'm really excited about being able to host because I really want to show how energy healing is really a complement. You know, it's really not a conflict with Western medicine, and how a combination of both Eastern and Western medicine can really increase your ability to overcome health challenges. So this radio show, the intent is for anyone who wants to experience the unique and powerful ways to, you know, complement your current practices in life. So if you are a patient or a healthcare professional, holistic healer, or any individual looking for transformation, join me as I bring voices to different practices. So today I have the opportunity to interview Michelle Jacobson. Michelle has been a birth and postpartum doula for over 5 years and doing light work for 7 years, starting slowly studying first Reiki and then aromatherapy and crystals to assist her with her work as a doula. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me, Brenda. It's a pleasure to be here.
I have to ask you, what exactly is a doula? Because honestly, it's been decades since I gave birth, and I have never heard of it before until I really met you, or maybe I have heard of the word, but it kind of glazed over me because I wasn't interested in, you know, giving birth again. So since I've spoke to you this summer about it, I thought, wow, that is so interesting. So can you explain to me, what is a doula? How did you get involved in this? And how did this lead up to energy work?
Oh, it's kind of all intertwined, and it took a path. Everyone takes their own path. But first of all, a doula, strictly defined, is a Greek word that means woman's servant. In olden Greek days, the doulas would be basically a handmaiden of a woman, and they would be assisting women in everything from childbirth to household chores. Now, doulas are mostly connected with birth and childbearing, and we are basically birthing assistants. We create a relationship with the birthing family, and we are with them from the first contractions until they go to the hospital if that's where they're birthing, or they go to the birthing center if that's where they're birthing, or until the midwife comes. We're there for the birth. We document it. We can take pictures if you want, and we're there for about an hour after and write a little bit of a story. Some doulas, you know, do the pictures and the story as well. I just choose to do both. Postpartum doulas are there once the baby's born to transition into the new family dynamic, whether it's a new family coming home, mom, dad with the first baby, or whether it's the third or fourth. There's always a new family dynamic coming in, and doulas are there to basically be the mother's handmaiden to help them transition into motherhood. So
now,
that's what a doula does.
As a doula, can you have a doula with you in a hospital, or is this in your private home?
Oh, no. Doulas, we work wherever the client wants to give birth. So if she's giving birth in a hospital with an obstetrician or a family doctor, we're there with her in the delivery room. If she wants to give birth at home with a midwife, we're there. My phrase is, we coach, not catch. So we don't deliver the babies. We deliver the parents, I guess you can say.
Oh, wow. I hear you talking about this, and I can only wish that I had known about this, you know, like I say, a long time ago for myself, because it was really traumatic. And nobody would talk about the birthing process. You know, you're pregnant, you delivered a baby, and it was really traumatic.
And it was all very medicalized from around the 1920s. Birth had become very medicalized. It was brought into the hospitals away from the midwives. And it, instead of becoming a natural part of life and a natural part of a woman's rite of passage, it became a very medical thing. And birth was taken away from the woman and given to the doctors. So now the doctors decide, where you're going to birth, how you're going to deliver, what position you're going to push in, and, you know, what interventions they're going to do to you, because they're not done with you, they're done to you while you're birthing. So having a birth doula is there to help you. We're there for informational, emotional, and physical support only. So we don't do anything medical. We are there just as support for that birthing family, for the partner as well as the mom who's birthing. And we do an awful lot of walking around with them, positioning. We do lots of massage, and, you know, keeping a nice, calm environment as much as possible. Sometimes we have to run intervention for grandparents that are in the waiting room. We have lots of hats.
Wow. Oh, that sounds so nice. So that's the way that it should be. That's the way that birthing should be. And like I said for myself, it can be so traumatic and unnatural.
Like in most other countries in the world, birthing is a community event, and we're bringing it back to having a village. And I have in my contract, I say this village that we have built here is going to birth this child. And that's what we're trying to get back into, is a little community of people who care about each other and their outcomes, and not about numbers and statistics and heartbeats per minute and anything medical. We're just there. I'm there. I tell the family I'm not there to interfere with what the father or the partner's there. I'm not there to take that place. The partner's job is, they know the mom better than anybody in the world. And I know birth very well. So between the two of us, we could just satellite around her and keep everything running smoothly.
So how did you get into this? Because from what I understand, you know, you were in other careers previous to being a doula. Like, how would you go from working in a corporate world to being a doula?
I've always had my hand in things, holistic things, on the side. I have a long healing of my own that I'm on a path of doing. I had a back surgery and a lot of pain in my life. And so I've always been searching for other things to relieve pain, to bring relief, to bring comfort. And so I started collecting crystals and learning about them. I started going for raindrop therapy, and then I learned how to do it. I started going for hot stone massage, and then I learned how to do it. And all of these things, although you don't bring them into the birthing room with them, you bring the attitude, the openness to the universe. You bring that attitude to the birthing room, that you're open to the universe and everything that it has to offer. And once I was doing that, I started volunteering. I was volunteering on a rape crisis line. And when that crisis line shut down, I was looking for another volunteer position. So I started volunteering at a crisis home for pregnant teens, and that's how I got into pregnancy.
Wow. Wow, good for you. So now I'm interested in is that you also do energy work. Now, can you describe the type of energy work that you do, as well as the aromatherapy and crystals, and how do you find that it complements or assist you as a doula?
I also do Reiki, and I'm taking a craniosacral course next month. I have, I'm very intuitive, so I have the ability to feel energies pretty well anywhere. If you're in the room with me, if I've got my hands on you and I'm massaging you, but particularly I can feel the room, the energies in the room. When I'm with a birthing family, I can feel even pains that a mom might be having and say, I think you might be having a few pains in your back on the right-hand side when you're having contractions. Did you want to try a different position? Or suddenly the dad will come to mind and I'll think, oh, you haven't eaten for a while. You should probably go do that. So I'm very intuitive. I can feel the energies in the room swirling around, and if something's amiss, I can kind of swoop in and make sure that I smooth it over before it becomes any sort of an issue or a blip. I mean, my goal is to make sure that the birth process is the most empowering, peaceful thing that this couple can go through.
Wow. I'm so impressed by that. And I really question how many people are aware of doulas. And are they very common? Is it easy to find a doula?
Oh, surprisingly enough, we are becoming more, I guess, come to light a lot more. First of all, the people who are having babies, we're talked about in the birth and baby classes or any childbirth education classes you may be taking. We're in a lot of the baby books. Different authors will talk about your support team, including a doula, or, you know, whether you're choosing a midwife, a doctor, you can have a doula, you can have your partner, you can have a friend or your mother. The word is actually starting to come out. There are a couple of Hollywood people that have mentioned doula on TV. Every once in a while, you'll hear our word out there, and we're getting a few nods here and there. And surprisingly enough, in the next generation, we're starting to get known because now the grandparents are hearing about it and wanting to give doula services to their children when their grandchildren come along.
Nice. And I really like that. Well, that could actually be a very nice gift to give to your grandchildren or your children. How nice.
Sometimes we get contacted by a friend at work, and they say that they're having a baby shower for this person, and they would like to pay for our doula services. So that's a really nice thing to do for a couple as well in a baby shower.
Wow. I just love it. So when you talk about energies again, when you say that you do Reiki, and understand that Reiki is modality that the medical world is sort of opened up now more so within the hospital, do you get any resistance in regards to doing Reiki?
I guess not because I'm not consciously doing Reiki, I'm just intuitive.
Okay.
So I don't form any Reiki positions over top of any client. I actually even just barely remember to bring in the light and to have it present when this family's coming in. And basically I just say a prayer on my way to the client's house or to the hospital or wherever I'm meeting them, asking that the light be with us, with this family on this journey, however it turns out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I was interested about that because I know that they are opening up and Reiki is being used in hospitals with more times of cancer patients. So I was curious about that. And I definitely think that that's one of the modalities that we're going to see more and more of the medical community opening up to. I mean, it's totally non-evasive, so it's a very soothing energy that comes through.
And quite often it's unconscious. It's nothing more than me standing with you, Brenda, and having my hand on your arm and thinking, I sure hope she has a good day. And in my own way, I'm giving you Reiki. I'm bringing the good vibrations towards you. I'm bringing good thoughts and just, you know, good energy towards you. So, you know, being in a birthing situation and caring for this couple and just envisioning everything turning out fine and her being happy and empowered and him being, you know, fully fulfilled and not scared, it's basically the same thing. You're bringing your energy into the situation, just hoping for the best for everyone involved.
You know, it sounds to me like you're really living your soul's purpose, Michelle. And I have to ask you, I know that you had also mentioned earlier that you had been in quite a difficult car accident. And do you feel that the car accident was a wake-up call for you as to living your soul's purpose, or did you know prior to that accident?
Oh, I knew prior to that accident, I just didn't listen to the universe. And I think the accident was my big wake up. It was, I had, as I mentioned before, I had some injuries that I had to my back, and that was a wake up call that I didn't listen to. And so I kept working in the corporate world. And then the car accident was a big, big wake up call. It was, you're not going to listen to me? All right, here's a big message. And since then, I've learned that I need to take care of myself before I take care of anyone else, including these couples, because otherwise I'm not going to be good to anybody. And part of that is, you know, now that I'm not working in the corporate world, I'm making sure that every day my job is exercising and doing my physiotherapy exercises and all my stretching I'm supposed to do and meditating for half an hour. So that it's all made such a big difference. I don't understand how I did it for so many years without it.
You know, that's a good recommendation. And, you know, even for myself, you know, when I hear you say that, because when you have worked in the corporate world and you switch gears, but part of the brain is still, okay, I have to, you know, get on my computer and check the messages. And it's so instilled that time to take care of yourself is kind of put in the back burner. So I know that that's something that I continually struggle with and have to do some self-talk and know, Brenda, go and take that walk out in nature. Get grounded, because if you're not grounded, how are you going to be able to help out? So that's a good reminder. Can you tell me about the accident? Are you okay to talk about that? And
Yeah, I'm good. The car accident, I was on a two-lane, kind of a gravel highway, back way, kind of behind a farmer's field just south of Calgary. And it was blowing snow. It wasn't really blizzarding out, but there was drifting snow. And I was heading towards someone on the road. I saw them slip off their side of the road, and I thought, oh my goodness, they just went off the road. I hope they're okay. And then I guess they steered out of the ditch, overcompensated, and gunned the gas pedal and came right up out of the ditch at me, and I had no time to move. So basically, by the time he had skidded across the highway at me, I managed to just kind of hit head on onto his back bumper. So I slid, went sideways, and then the guy behind me T-boned me as well. So I got a third grade concussion, and it affected me for it's been 3 years now that I'm still having issues off and on with.
And so are you able to do Reiki on yourself to help out, or do you get help from others as to Reiki? And
I get, yeah, help from others. I do Reiki on myself as much as I remember, which is not as much. I do remember to do Reiki on myself before I do on someone else. I think about my day and what I'm going to do. Oh, I'm going to do a massage. I better cleanse myself and do a Reiki so that I'm strengthened enough to take care of them. I think you and I talked about this in the summertime, but I had a very definite feeling when I hit that other car. I know that I had time to think, I'm going to hit this car and there's nothing I can do. And I felt someone on either side of me basically pull me into the back seat. Now, physically, I wasn't. I was still in the front seat, but I witnessed it from the back seat and saw the entire thing. And then I was given the choice to go back into my body or not. And obviously, I chose to come back into my body and fight my way back. So
wow.
That was an interesting wake me up for there must be a reason that I was given a choice to come back even.
And do you feel that since that accident that this has given you more fuel to do the work that you're doing now?
I think it's given me better ears to listen, because that's the biggest thing, is you just have to learn to listen and not doubt yourself.
Yes.
With intuitiveness, as we're raised in the Western culture, we are raised to dismiss anything that our rational minds cannot comprehend. And intuitiveness is the opposite. You need to listen to your heart and the first thing that comes to mind is usually the right thing. So it definitely taught me to listen better, because also having a third grade concussion, my communication skills were horrible. So I did have to rely on my intuition a lot, because I couldn't communicate very well for quite a while. I couldn't, you know, speak. I couldn't understand. I couldn't process. I would get lost going to the doctor's office that I've been to for 9 years. I would start to cry ordering deli meats at the Safeway.
Yeah,
because I couldn't communicate.
Oh, wow. Do you think mm-hmm. in a way that going through that experience too, did that give you an extra, I don't know, sense? You know,
it did. It definitely
yeah.
did. A lot of my time was spent, when you have a very bad concussion, a lot of your time is spent with no outside stimulus. So I stayed in the basement, in the dark, in the quiet. And you definitely get to learn how to listen very well. You get to learn, you get to think and process and look at things much different than when your senses are being overloaded by things coming in and images and sound and light and, yeah.
And then I would imagine that having that extra intuitive sense would help you and guide you with working as a doula. If you're sensing
yes.
other people's pain,
yes.
That would be a great tool. I don't know if it's so nice to be able to feel their pain, but I would imagine that would dissipate once you disconnected with the client or with the patient.
Actually, it just kind of, it's not the same intensity of pain that they have, but it lets me know where they're feeling it. I can feel it on someone that I'm massaging as well. So I can be standing massaging their hand, giving them a hand massage, and my left knee starts to just really twinge. And so I ask mm-hmm. them, did you do anything to your knee? Oh, yeah, I twisted it the other day. Okay, so now I should go work on it. So it just basically wakes me up as to what's happening in the other person that's there with me. And sometimes I can do it just sitting in the room with someone. I don't necessarily have to have my hands on you.
Do you find that most of the doulas that you know, are they fairly intuitive people?
Half and half.
Oh,
half of the doulas come from a nursing background.
Yes.
There's quite a few doulas that come from teaching backgrounds, from massage backgrounds, which I would consider an intuitive,
mm-hmm.
holistic side. We have some that have never been mothers. We have some that are grandmothers. A doula is work that you can do well into your 60s and 70s. It's not terribly physically demanding, or it doesn't have to be. I mean, you can change. You're constantly changing position, which makes the biggest difference. And, you know, you can do a lot of massage. You can get the partner to do the massage. There's lots of things you can do to make it easier physically on yourself. It's mostly just the calming presence that you need to have, and a few directions here and there. So it's work that you can do pretty well any age. So it's quite interesting how these women, we have about 80 members of the Calgary Doula Association, and it's quite interesting how these women have all gotten there from different paths to the same place. And some are on their way to other paths too. Some are on their way to become midwives. Some are just passing through thinking that this was something that they wanted to do and it might not work well for them. But
wow.
Some like me, we love it.
You know, that's really encouraging. And I have to say, especially for, you know, probably particularly more women that are older and they're looking as to, you know, what do I do? You know, would this be a good career move for me? You know, and where you're feeling like you're really, you know, giving service to a higher good. So I think
mm-hmm.
that's really encouraging, you know, because people do look as to what do I do next? You know, what is it that I really makes me feel good at the end of the day that I've really helped, you know, help mankind? So to know that this is available is great. Then that leads me to the question, how do you go about becoming a doula, and are there courses, and how does somebody become a doula?
Yeah, there definitely are courses. There's two major associations that you can go through. One is called DONA, D-O-N-A, which stands for Doulas of North America. But we now call it DONA International because we're not just North America anymore. I believe we're in about 15 different countries now, China, Africa. So we're not just North America now. We're in Great Britain and everywhere. So once you're DONA certified, you can practice anywhere that DONA doulas are recognized. There's also an organization called CAPA, or Childbirth and Postpartum Association, I believe is what it stands for. Sorry if I misspoke, but it's CAPPA, and you can get certified through there. There's courses you can take, and then there's an at-home study that you do where you you do your own research, you read books, and you have to attend so many births and be evaluated on those.
So what is the period of time that it would take to complete the course for someone that may be interested in doing it?
I find with all the reading and the research and, of course, finding the birth, because you're generally looking at about 9 months those little things take to come about, about a year. About a year before you, and that's just an average. I knew someone who did it in 6 months because she was younger and just happened to have a lot of friends that were due very, very soon. So she buckled down and got all her work done really quick and did it in 6 months. She was amazing.
Right. And so is it at a college that you have to attend, or can you do most of this online?
No, you actually go through those associations, either DONA or CAPA.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
And actually, doulas are not regulated. So if you are looking for a doula, that is something to keep in mind. You can actually walk out on the street right now, Brenda, and put a shingle up that says, Brenda Lainoff Doula. And you can start charging whatever you want. Remember, though, that if you're not going through an association, you are not tied to their rules and regulations. So you don't have a code of ethics that you have to stick to, which is important. You're not answerable to any higher governing association either. So if someone is unhappy with your services, they have nowhere to turn.
Now, are you also protected, like, with some insurance through these associations if there is anyone that is unhappy with your services? Is there protection?
Right now, I believe there is one. We're just starting to look at that as an association through the Calgary Doula Association. It's out of the state, so we're kind of seeing how applicable it is for Canadian law, but we haven't found anything Canadian yet. We don't have any, I guess that would be errors and omissions insurance or anything for doulas specifically.
But in the United States, they do have that, so they can look into it.
They do. And the biggest thing is that we're not doing anything medical, so there should be no reason anyone would come back to us.
Right. I understand what you're saying.
Yep.
I guess there's always that unknowing if somebody did decide to come back. Just knowing that you have some backup support and some legal protection. Wow, interesting.
And I think doulas are relatively new in, the birthing field. So it will come about, and it is slowly coming about, that it will be not necessarily required, but it will definitely be encouraged and be available. But again, right now, so far, the biggest defense that we have is that we're not involved in the birth so much as anything more than emotional or physical support. So, so it's not something they could come back on us for.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really encouraging. I'm quite pleased that you came on to discuss this, because there's so many opportunities. And that's very encouraging. And the whole healthcare is, I think we're going to see more opportunities that come up for people. I mean, that's just the reality right now. And we need both the medical Western healthcare, and we need all these other healing modalities, and just have them really blend together. So sounds like we're being able to blend those very well.
And it seems to be much more important in the, well, I guess I might be speaking on a turn again, but in the bigger communities where we have a larger population perhaps of transient people, like in Calgary, we have a lot of people here who have moved away from their families to work in oil and gas. So we have a lot of women without their moms or aunts or sisters. We have a lot of, unfortunately, we have a lot of homeless people. We have a lot of street girls. We have a lot of prostitutes. We have things like that that don't have partners, and everybody needs support. And I work with Calgary Care Doulas, which is, you know, we do volunteer births, and as well as the Elizabeth House, which is the crisis housing for pregnant teens. And in the bigger communities, you have the opportunity to get your experience as a doula volunteering as well. So there's lots of opportunity out there. It's just, I guess, knowing where to look.
I think what's nice about that is you're saying that it's not too taxing for you to do this work. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're going through your own self-healing. It's nice mm-hmm. to know that you can do, you know, be a doula, like you say, up to, you know, in your 60s or beyond, I'm sure, do this type of work, and it just sounds extremely rewarding.
I guess the only thing that would restrict you is if you were in a position that you couldn't be on call, that you couldn't get a mm-hmm. phone call at 2:00 in the morning that someone's having contractions and that you know, up and leave an hour later or 10 minutes later or as soon as you hang up the phone and be there potentially anywhere from 2 to 40 hours.
Okay, right.
Because we're there. Yeah, we stay until the baby's born. Unlike, you know, medical staff would take shift breaks or, you know, go off shift after 12 hours, we stay there until baby's born. So that's part of the relationship that we build with them, is the commitment that we're going to be there from start to finish.
And I would imagine that you've got a good relationship then with the medical staff, or that you would need to have a good relationship with the doctors and the nurses.
Definitely, yeah. We want to make sure that we are very respectful and non-intrusive in the medical staff, whether, you know, it's the midwifery, whether it's the OBs, whether it's the nurses. I know a lot of families, when they first start talking to me, say, I really, you know, I'm at this maternity clinic, and I sure hope I get my doctor because I really like working with him. And I always have to tell them, it's in a hospital situation, it's the nurse on call that sets the whole tone for your birth. So the doctor comes in to check you and to deliver the baby, but that nurse is there. We have to be respectful and make sure that we help and not hinder, and make sure that the client has the best possible birth that they can. You can't be creating any strife in a delivery room and expect the couple to not absorb some of that.
Right, and for the baby not to absorb any of that.
That's correct, you know, yeah. The calmer that you have that mom, and the calmer that you have that mm-hmm. that atmosphere, the happier, the easier that baby's going to settle.
Well, it's interesting with the different modalities that I work with. I work a lot with emotions. And, you know, you can actually test if the baby within the womb has trapped emotions.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. It's so interesting. Of course, you know, you can inherit trapped emotions, so the baby could have inherited trapped emotions. This is where it would work so well, Michelle. And mm-hmm. you can also test, yeah, through the mother for the baby. So, yeah, it's very cool. And so you can actually prepare the baby prior to birth. I'm working with my daughter-in-law right now, who's pregnant. And so
congratulations.
Get her as calm as possible. And because the, you know, less emotions that she's carrying within her body, obviously it's better for the baby. So the emotional work and clearing trapped emotions works hand in hand with exactly what you're doing. And it's great work, and just to get the best outcome for the baby and for the mother and for everybody involved. So, Michelle,
that's awesome.
If anybody has questions as to this, is there a way that they could contact you in the future and ask you about, you know, being a doula and your, you know, any comments that you may have?
They certainly could. Unfortunately, right now my website is under construction, but you're definitely welcome to email me at michellejacobson@shaw.ca. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, just one L, J-A-C-O-B-S-O-N at shaw.ca.
Great. And is there any final words that you would that you can think of that you'd like to express today?
No, I think that every different doula, every different birth worker brings their own energy into a situation. And I know that when we interview with our clients, the biggest, most important thing that we look for is a really good relationship. And I encourage them, please talk to at least a couple other doulas, because this is going to be the most intimate relationship that you build faster than anything. I mean, within 9 months, you build the most intimate relationship ever. And so if that relationship doesn't jibe, if you don't get that connection, it could be less than totally empowering, which is not what you want. So the biggest thing with a doula that you're looking for is talk to more than one. Make sure that their outlook on birth is what yours is, and that your personalities match, and that the personality of your partner matches with the doula as well.
Yes, that is so key. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not feeling that you're comfortable with that one person, then it could affect the whole process. So, yeah, good
mm-hmm.
words of advice. A very, very good word. Well, thank you, Michelle. That was really interesting, and I think exciting for anyone who is pregnant and who wants more of a relaxed and a really supportive atmosphere. I can't think of anything better than what you're doing.
And thank you so much.
And for the fact that you're able to, feel the energies and for yourself in particular, where you can see them, that's just an additional gift that you can blend really well with being a doula. So very nice.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Brenda. It was a great show.
Yeah, thank you. And for anybody that's looking as to what a doula is and wants some additional information and just inquire if you want to be a doula yourself or perhaps looking to hire a doula, I think Michelle will be more than happy just to assist you with that. And so thanks so much, Michelle.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So take care, and we'll be probably talking to you again at some point in time. And the best to you with all your work. You're doing a great service.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Brenda.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Blessings to you. Bye.
Thank you.